Now here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Debbie, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you are having a wonderful weekend. It's a lovely day out there, but if you're inside or near a radio or a computer, please give us an hour of your time tonight, because Minds Over Matter is, was, and always shall be the audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we are welcoming your calls on many different subjects. So we'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. That number is area code 415-841-4134. That's area code 415-841-4134. And I do want to remind you that our email address is mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. That's mindsovermatter, one word, at yahoo.com. It's always great to hear from our listeners. Feel free to email us on any subject pertaining to the show or not pertaining to the show, as the case may be. It's always great to hear from our faithful listeners out there. Also, if you'd like to hear our show online, you can do that anywhere in the world as we know it, simply by going to kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And if you'd like a podcast of the show, the lovely Debbie Kennedy is here tonight, so she will do the fantastic job that she is so beloved for here at Minds Over Matter, of putting that podcast on the air without any mistakes at all. So again, that'll be at kalw.org. So we're going to start with a round of introductions and a round of questions. And here's the first. Jerry Nachman would like to commend the four Democratic senators who voted against the gun control bill for their courage to stand together against the forces of sanity.
Thank you, Dan. Pauline Teichman still doesn't own a real adult bed, but figures she's partway there with her purchase today of a Victorian chaise lounge. Or how would you say it?
Chaise. That's exactly
chaise
how
lounge.
That's exactly right.
Chaise. Give us the French. The French.
Chaise longue?
Long, that's it. That's why we have it.
Okay. With the hubbub about the important gun vote last week, our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, invites all our listeners to revel in the unimportance of the next hour.
So, all right. That is us. And we begin the questioning with Jerry Nachman.
Okay. What brands were sold with these five slogans from Advertising Age's top 100 slogans? I'll give you the five and wait till I'm finished. First is the penalty of leadership. That's the first. Number two, it's so simple. Three, a buck well spent. Four, the instrument of the immortals. And finally, it's a miracle. Go over one more time. The penalty of leadership, it's so simple, a buck well spent, the instrument of the immortals, and it's a miracle.
Okay, well, I'm going to take a guess on the it's so simple that it's something like Singer sewing machines?
No.
Oh, well.
I'll give you two. You only get two.
I don't know any of those.
You don't know any of them?
No. Oh, are these, wow. How old would you say these are?
How old? Some of them are fairly old. I'd say some were the last maybe 40 years, maybe older. Maybe some I think are probably older.
They're before our time.
So. I'm not a good target person for advertising, because I'm a very unimpulsive buyer.
Well, yeah, but you read magazines.
I do read magazines, but I don't really look at the ads in depth.
I like slogans, but it's just
yeah, you too.
Think
they're
I
good.
Would have heard any of these?
These are on the top Advertising Age's top 100, so they're pretty effective. And
but they might
well-known.
Be five products which I would never use.
Let's see, which ones,
what do you think?
Which ones would you use? You would, the second one you would use, the third one, a buck well spent, it's so simple, and it's a miracle.
Hmm. It's a miracle. Is the miracle one, does that have to do with something mechanical?
Yeah.
Okay. Huh.
Not Miracle Whip.
No. Like a washing machine or something?
Well, I've said enough.
All right. Okay. All right. And
okay, so no guesses, eh?
No guesses. Right.
Pauline, nothing?
No, I don't.
Okay,
I've never heard of any of them.
Okay, all right.
All right.
I'd heard of about two of them, three of them.
Yeah, but you were around back then.
So you've really only heard of two of those? And that's on the list of the 100?
I was reminded, let's say, I'd heard of about three of them.
Okay.
Three of them. Okay.
Hmm.
It's a miracle.
But I was an advertising major for a year, so.
Debbie wants to guess, see if it's a miracle. Is that a hearing aid?
No. Good guess, though.
Oh, that's...
Miracle ear. There's a miracle. Yeah. No, that's a very good guess.
That's good. That's good. There are a lot of things called miracle, I guess, right there.
Miracle Grow?
Yeah. Miracle Grow. There you go. Is it Miracle Grow?
No. Or as they said, not Miracle Whip.
All right. And Pauline, why don't you go ahead?
Okay. I'm going to ask you to name the famous painting and artist whose work was displayed at MoMA upside down for 47 days before it was brought to the attention.
I remember reading about that. It's by a famous painter.
Yes, quite famous.
Is it Matisse?
It is Matisse. What's the name of the work?
Oh, it's something like The Boat.
It's called Le Bateau.
Very good.
The Boat, because... Honestly, when you look at it, it's hard to tell which way, because it's the reflection, so it's hard to tell which way's up and which way's upside down, because it's abstract.
Picasso doesn't count, I guess.
Good job.
Because you can hang at it.
And
anyway.
Matisse is not, I mean, it's not hard to see what he's trying to get at in his painting most of the time.
No.
Okay, so I'm going to ask another one. Okay. And I'm going to have a follow-up on this later, but what Animal Farm character was also known as Willingdon Beauty?
Willingdon.
W-I-L-L-I-N-G.
A comic strip character?
D-O-N. No, Animal Farm.
Animal Farm. Oh, gosh.
Willingdon Beauty. And you want the name that the character is better known by in the book?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What were the characters? I don't remember.
Oh, Napoleon and Snowball.
Which one's this pig?
That was Napoleon and Snowball.
Yeah.
Which was
because I'm going to have a follow-up
Stalin
question afterwards.
Yeah, right.
See, I'm not going to ask the follow-up question then because you're going to know which is which.
Well, I wouldn't know all of them.
Okay.
Is it Boxer the horse?
I think Boxer is the horse, but...
No, but is that the...
But no.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, I want to...
But you were on the right track. What Animal Farm character was also known as Willingdon Beauty?
Willingdon Beauty. All right. And we have some lines open. The number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. This is Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Please give us a call. Yes.
I just to say that they are fairly old, but they're classic. And as you can tell from the one, a buck well spent, it would now be about $5 well spent.
All right.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Let's see here. According to Consumer Reports, who spend a great deal of time on things like this, what are the two household stains that are toughest to remove from laundry? So these, and I'll try to make this as easy for you as possible. These two stains are something you would basically get in the house. Okay. I mean, they would be, you know, identified with things that you would find in the house.
So grease?
No.
Oil or...
It has to be fairly specific. I mean...
Blood?
No.
No, because that wouldn't be specific to the house. Lipstick?
No.
That mayonnaise.
That was Debbie's guess.
Mayonnaise. That's good. Mayonnaise. No, not mayonnaise.
Try to get that out of
it. Must be some food
thing.
Berry stains.
Yeah, narrow it down.
I'll try to... One of them is food related, and the other is...
Bleach.
More... nature related, I guess, is the way to put it. Bleach, no. Yeah. Well, bleach, forget it. Yeah, you'll never get bleach
out. Don't you use bleach to get the stains out?
Yeah.
If you use too much bleach, you get everything out.
Yeah. So once more, according to Consumer Reports, what are the two toughest household stains to remove from laundry? One is food related and the other is a more natural substance that is... Yeah.
Now, when you say food, like a specific food, like berries?
Yeah, specific kind of food, yeah. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Let's see. Let me give you another question. Who was the first woman to win an Oscar for Best Song as a composer?
That's a good one.
She wrote just the music, right?
Yeah.
Dorothy Fields.
No. She never wrote the music. Hmm? She only wrote the words.
Of course.
Stupid. Who was the first woman to win an Oscar for Best Song as a composer of the music?
Yeah. Carolyn Lee?
Oh, well, that's a good guess. No. Mm-mm.
No, she was a lyricist also. Excuse me.
I think she might have written music too, though. Maybe. Okay. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Okay.
Is she pretty well in that category of well-known? Or?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Really?
Yeah, you would know her name, definitely.
Okay.
Again, so who was the first woman to win an Oscar for Best Song as a composer? And according to Consumer Reports, what are the two toughest household stains to remove from laundry? One is a food substance, and the other is a more natural substance. So, okay, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
This is Garrett from Union City.
Hello.
Was that female composer that won an Oscar? Was it Barbara Streisand?
It was Barbara Streisand.
Oh,
yes,
good.
Very good. For
was
Evergreen, 1976.
She wrote the music to that?
Yeah.
It was for Star is Born.
Okay.
Yeah. Got one little correction. A couple weeks ago, you were talking about Lottie Lenya, and the character you played was Rosa Krebs. It was Rosa Klebb.
Rosa Klebb. Yeah, didn't I say that?
No, you said Krebs.
Oh, sorry.
Here's a couple of questions. But first of all, what was the only television network to broadcast the Army McCarthy hearings?
The only network?
Yeah.
DuMont.
Nope.
The only TV network. Yeah.
Yeah, the only TV network.
There weren't very many
CBS.
Back in those days.
Well, I'll give you a clue. This network had no daytime programming to preempt, so they were. It was the only thing they broadcast.
Really?
Yeah.
So this is 54, basically, I think.
The Don Lee network.
54.
I can't think of any other networks.
There weren't that many.
Think of the big three networks.
ABC, I guess.
Right. Give yourself a bell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my second question. Bill Lee Marvin appeared in three films with John Wayne. His first contact with the Duke was in a feature film that was produced by Wayne and his partner, Robert Phillips Production Company. What was it? It's a real tough one.
The Common Sheriffs?
No. John Wayne produced it, but didn't appear in it.
Oh.
It's got a number in its title.
It's got a number in its title?
Yeah.
What year was it?
50. I think it was 54.
No, I don't know. I'm sorry.
You don't know?
No.
7 Men from Now.
Okay.
No.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is this me, Tony, in Castro Valley?
It is you, Tony, in Castro Valley, yes.
Okay, the stains I'm thinking may be grass and the food, and maybe beets or wine.
Those are good guesses.
They're all very good guesses, but none of the above.
Wow.
Really?
Wrong. Wrong all around.
I'm afraid so. Thank you.
Thank you.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight is author Jerry Nachman and teacher and photographer Pauline Teichman. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. The number to join us with a question or answer is area code 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay, what novels begin with these chapter names? These are about five or six. The first is The Master of the Universe. The second is Jonathan Harker's Journal.
Dracula.
Okay, Dracula, that's right. I figured you'd knock that one off, but wait till I finish them all. The third is The Old Pynchon Family. Pynchon with a P-Y-N-C-H-E-O-N family.
Thomas Pynchon.
The next is January: An Exceptionally Bad Month. Again, The Master of the Universe.
Oh, for some reason I thought, they were all going to be same novel.
No, they're all
five
different works.
Okay.
Master of the Universe, as you said, Jonathan Harker's Journal is the first chapter of Dracula. The Old Pynchon Family. And then the last is January, An Exceptionally Bad Month.
Can you tell us if these are all American or English or a mixture or what?
A mix. I'll say all American but one.
All right, could you go over?
I'm not sure. They may all be. No, they're all American. I'm sorry, they're all American.
Oh.
And one is contemporary, the others are not.
The Old Pynchon Family, if it's I'm not sure. It could be the same family. Is the House of the Seven Gables? Is that the old Pynchon family?
Correct.
Oh.
Very good.
Right.
Very
okay.
good. Okay, so we're just looking for the Master of the Universe and January, an exceptionally bad month.
January, an exceptionally bad month, sounds familiar.
That's the contemporary work. Actually, they're both contemporary.
What it's not about? Catcher in the Rye.
They're both
is
contemporary.
It?
No. It sounds like it.
It does.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hello, John. Me?
It is you.
Okay, Jonathan in San Francisco. The two stains, would they be coffee and blood?
No.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Yeah, hi. This is David in Oakland.
Hi, David.
Hi. I think I know one of the slogans. It's a miracle. Was this a Xerox had a commercial with like a monk like years ago?
Yeah, you're correct.
Oh,
Xerox,
very good.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that ad. Yeah, the commercial. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. The only reason I remember it is my mom used to. I can't remember what old radio show had the "It's a Miracle," which was a miracle used cars. You know, if you get mm-hmm. a deal on a used car, it's a miracle.
Yeah.
That's their line, and I just remember the slogan was the same.
Good
job.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you. And Pauline, it's your turn.
Okay. So you're talking about stains. I'm going to talk about stained glass. So I'm going to first give you a quote and ask you who said it, and then follow up. I've got several questions about stained glass windows. So who said relative to their stained glass creations, "For me, a stained glass window is a transparent partition between my heart and the heart of the world"? There's more to the quote, but that's all I'm going to say. And then, where is there a stained glass panel that incorporates a fragment of moon rock? What is the oldest stained glass still in situ? Where is the largest stained glass window in the world?
Oh.
And what is unusual about the stained glass windows of the Grossmünder Cathedral?
Go
all
through
right.
those slowly.
Go through
again.
All that
yeah.
again.
Yeah. That's a lot to throw at people.
I know it is. But, okay, so who said relative to their stained glass creations, "For me, a stained glass window is a transparent partition between my heart and the heart of the world"? And then, where is there a stained glass panel that incorporates a fragment of moon rock? What is the oldest stained glass still in situ? Where is the largest stained glass window in the world? And what is the what is unusual about the stained glass windows of the Grossmünder Cathedral? Sorry if I'm mispronouncing it, but
is the answer to the first one, is that Chagall? Mark
yes, it
Chagall?
Is. Good job.
Okay, because he did the.
I never thought
glass.
I'd hear the phrase "in situ" on
in
this show.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too.
What should I have said? Something else? Still in place?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought that...
We're simple people here, Pauline.
I wanted to use the proper
We're
term.
We're simple folk.
Okay, sorry. Simple.
We're from the country. We don't understand anything.
Yeah.
Provincial.
And the oldest stained glass window.
Oldest.
In
yes.
America or the world?
Well, you should say
that. Narrow that
in
down.
The world,
in the
obviously.
World, okay.
Still
not
in
obvious
place.
At all, right?
And the last one about, what was the last one once more?
What is unusual about the stained glass windows of the Grossmünder Cathedral? There's something unusual about them.
Are they in the ceiling rather than the side of the...
No, because that's actually not that unusual.
Is it? Is
necessarily.
It oh, it is to me.
They're very
the
small.
Domed.
They're very small?
No.
They're upside down?
No.
Okay.
Hmm. All right.
I don't know.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, this is Karen calling from San Francisco.
Hi, Karen.
Hi. For the stains, yeah. I think one of them is tree sap?
No.
No. Okay. All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
That was
Let
a good one because that is hard to get out.
I think one would be mustard.
No.
No. Oh, that's pretty.
I'm not saying these are all not very difficult
they're
to get out.
Impossible.
I'm just saying according
tea?
To consumer
May
reports.
May as well throw
no.
it away.
Man.
Yeah, but tea is actually a bad stain because I've had...
It's very hard to get out.
It is
mustard
hard to get
on
out.
The necktie used to be the worst, most common and
Let's
impossible.
See, let me try to give you another hint on at least one of them. The food substance stain is a... It's a warm. It would be served
warm.
Tomato sauce.
Yeah.
Hot. Tomatoes really stain.
No.
They're hard to get out.
No.
What about for the other stain, pollen, mm-hmm. like from flowers, like from the stamens of flowers?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me give you another question here. All right. I have a list of the first four African Americans to appear on U.S. postage stamps. Okay? Who were the first four African Americans to appear on a U.S. postage stamp?
Carver.
That's one, so that's your guess. Yes. Chloe?
Hold on. I'm trying to run through some of the ones. How about Frederick Douglass?
Yes. Yes. So Frederick Douglass was not until 1967, and George Washington Carver was in 1948.
Earliest, I bet.
No, that's not the earliest.
Oh, not the earliest.
No. So again, I'm looking for the first four African Americans to appear on a United States postage stamp. So far we have George Washington Carver and Frederick Douglass. Who are the other two?
Is one a woman?
None of them are women.
Oh.
If you go a little further down the list, you would get a couple of women, yeah.
Right. No, because yeah. I know some women. But
yeah. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi.
For Masters of the Universe, I think that's Bonfire of the Vanities.
It is. Oh. Very good. Ah.
Good.
Very good.
And let me guess on the stamp thing. How about W.E.B. Du Bois?
No.
Jesse Owens?
No.
All right. Good night.
Thank you very much.
Those were much later because I have those.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi there. This is Ron, San Francisco.
Hi, Ron.
For the African-Americans, is one Marcus Garvey?
No.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
And Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay. What Broadway musicals feature songs about these cities and the cities are also the title of the song.
Oh, okay. Only the title? I mean, is only the name of the city? Or is there? Are they just featured in the title of the song?
No, I think that's the name of the city.
Okay. Go ahead.
Is the name of the song.
All right.
Manchester, England. I'll give you about six, five or six.
Mm.
Manchester, England. Santa Fe. Hooverville. Salzburg. Rumson. And Chicago. Once again, Manchester, England, Santa Fe, Hooverville, Salzburg, Rumson, and Chicago.
Is the Salzburg, is that the Sound of Music?
No.
Oh.
It's in a song.
I can't think of many places, the name Broadway musicals
well,
that take
know.
Place
I don't
around
remember
Chicago.
This. I know the score of this show, and I don't remember this song, but it's not one of the standout hits. But I can't remember. I can't imagine how it's used in the show. But
how far back does this go? Can you give us some inkling about that?
Let's see. Summer. Okay, how far back? One goes back to the 40s, and one is fairly contemporary.
All right, could you go over the whole thing once more?
Okay, Manchester, England.
And what you want here too?
What?
And what the premise of the question?
What Broadway musicals feature songs about these cities, and the songs and the cities are the title of the song.
Mm-hmm.
Manchester, England, Santa Fe. Hooverville, Salzburg, Rumson, and Chicago. And let's see, how many have been made into movies? One, two, three, five of the six have been made into movies.
Well, I mean, Chicago, that's not the famous Chicago.
No, not Chicago. There is no song called Chicago.
In Chicago.
Okay. Yeah. Is Manchester, England, could that be like half a sixpence or something?
No, it sounds like that. No, it isn't.
Yeah. Right.
It's an American show.
Really?
They're all American shows.
Okay.
The only Chicago fan I can think of is Chicago, My Kind of Town.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Hmm.
That was a pop song. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Sammy.
I'm seeing like Liza Minnelli or somebody singing it. I don't know.
Hmm. And these are all pretty well-known shows?
All of them are.
And most of them were made in the movies, too?
Yeah.
I don't
All but one, yeah.
But I'm not sure some of these songs made it into the movie version.
What's that?
I say I'm not sure.
Oh, that's a good point. Let's see, which ones do I know that were made into? Yeah, I know the last one for sure, but...
Okay.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Oh, this is John in San Francisco.
Hi, John.
Okay, one quick guess on African-Americans on postage stamps, Dr. Ralph Bunch?
No, not in the top four anyway.
Okay. Okay, what I've got is you had last week a thing on Hail to the Chief, who was the first president. I Googled it up on Wikipedia, and Tyler was your answer.
Right.
This says that Andrew Jackson was the first that it was used for. It had been used to commemorate Washington and the end of the 1812 war. This was in 1815, according to Earl West. It was used several other times, used at the opening of the Chesapeake Canal. With
so you're saying it goes back to Washington?
Adams. But according to this, Jackson was the first.
Okay.
Something to pursue. I can't take it any further than that.
Well, maybe right. I forgot. I got this as I got
a question thing for you. You also had a thing on nonsense lyrics like "Hey Nanny Nanny" and "Hush Hush Hush."
Right.
Remember?
Yeah, that's from Duck Soup.
Right. So one that you didn't look into and one that might be interesting is in the song Yankee Doodle, what's that stuff about stuck a feather in his cap and called it macaroni all about?
It's a decoration. About. Macaroni was a kind of like a medal or a decoration that one wore. Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Yes. No.
Macaroni was a slang term, I think, meaning foolishness.
Well, no, he was a dandy, but it had to do with some sort of like frilly, ribbony kind of thing.
You're very right there.
Okay.
Thank you.
Maybe. I thought it just meant a general term.
Okay.
For you want the answer? I don't think anybody out there is going to get it.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. The Maryland militia at the time, back in Revolutionary War time, was known for its foppish dress. They other states' colonies called it macaroni.
Oh, okay.
Called them macaroni.
Okay.
That was a derogatory term. Okay. Well, that's all I got for you this week.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
that's a lot.
It.
That's a lot.
So I had that, basically.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, you had
Thank
it.
You
much.
Okay. I did.
And
I'm going to look
at your
there.
Turn, Pauline.
Okay. So let's see. I just had it. Okay. Born Annie Chancel, this French singer took her stage name from a cover version of an American hit by Tommy Rowe.
What was the original name?
Tommy Rowe.
Annie Chancel.
That's not going to help.
Edith
it
Piaf.
Will help somebody. Edith Piaf. No, it's not Edie Piaf. No.
Edie. They're very good friends. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I know.
Read the question again.
Okay. Born Annie Chancel, this French singer took her stage name from a cover version she sang of an American hit by Tommy Rowe. And I'm going to ask a completely
Who's Tommy
different...
Rowe?
No, well, is this a contemporary singer?
She's a well-known French singer.
But contemporary singer?
She's still around, but not as big.
Okay.
French, she was really big back at my time.
I realize your time had completely passed, but...
that's about all I'll say.
All right.
And I've got another quick question while we're at
what
it.
What French pop singers can you think of?
I can't think of that many.
Okay. In any food that's been overly salted, what one simple ingredient can you add to take away
Oh, that's a good... Saltiness? I'd love to know that. That's great. Very helpful.
It is. Just call me Eloise.
Tonight.
Exactly.
Yes.
We're learning a lot about stains and things
good.
You can
yeah.
add to,
All right.
to
Ask
soups.
Ask it again.
What one simple ingredient can you add to either a soup or other food that's been overly salted to help remove the extra salt?
Pepper.
No.
You mean just to remove the taste, not necessarily
no,
the salt itself?
No, it will actually remove the salt.
Really? A vacuum?
No.
Rice?
No, but that's a good guess because it does absorb things, but
yeah.
no.
Bread?
No. And that's all the guesses you got. I know there's somebody out there who knows
too.
This.
Of course, bread is salty, too. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. This is Big Radul in the Carnero.
Hello.
Say, on the four African-Americans, could one of them be Eddie Robinson?
No.
Okay. I have... four character names that Humphrey Bogart played. If you, I'll give you the name and you tell me the movie.
Oh, okay. I like this sort
of
thing. I don't know if I'll get them, but I like this sort of thing.
You totally will know these.
I'll give you, I have five of them. I'll give you all five and then we'll see.
Duke Mantee.
Just give me one at a time is best. I can think about it.
Oh, okay. Bugs Fenner.
Bugs.
Okay.
Well, that's something from the 30s.
Right.
Go ahead. Next.
Steve Jordan.
Ooh. Okay.
James Frazier.
Mm. Ooh. No.
Whip McCord.
Oh. That I think I know. Is that like the Oklahoma Kid?
Correct.
All right.
Got that one. His only Western.
All right.
And then Babyface Martin.
Oh, Babyface Martin. That's Dead End, I think.
Correct. So, Steve Jordan was his character's name in Bogart's first movie, if that helps.
Oh, ooh, yeah. What was that called? Up the River.
I think. Yeah, Up the River.
Up the River.
Right. And then we have Bugs Fenner and James Frazier left.
How could Bogart ever be called Babyface? It doesn't make sense.
He actually had, I think he was called Babyface in a couple different movies.
Really?
okay, I'm sorry. What were the two that are left again?
We have Bugs Fenner and James Frazier.
James Frazier doesn't sound familiar at all. Bugs Fenner. Is that, is it like the Amazing Dr. Clitterhouse or something like that?
No.
But it's from the 30s.
Correct.
Like Bullets or Ballots?
Bullets or Ballots, that's right.
All right. Wow.
For which one?
Bullets or Ballots.
For what name, though?
Bugs Fenner.
Oh. And then James Frazier.
That does not sound familiar at all. If you have to give me a hint on that one.
Well, let's see. Also in the movie were James Cagney and Pat O'Brien.
Oh. So, Angels with Dirty Faces?
Right.
Okay.
Very good.
All right.
Thanks, Dana.
Thank you.
Bye.
So did you get Steve Jordan?
Did you get Steve Jordan?
I don't think so.
I forgot which one it was. Okay. Oh, all right. Somebody will remind me. okay. Let me do a question here quickly. All right. So I've done a few of these. I'll do a couple more. There was according to Book Magazine, the 100 greatest literary characters since 1900, okay? So these are all, American, okay? These are all American novels that we're talking about. So these are the 100 greatest literary characters since 1900. So what I do is I give you, I will give you five actors, and you tell me the character that they played. Now, remember, these are among the 100 greatest literary characters since 1900. So, number one, Lon Chaney Jr. Number two, Daniel Day-Lewis. Number three, Julie Harris. Number four, Tyrone Power. Number five, Robin Williams. So again, these are actors who played one of the 100 greatest literary characters since 1900, all written by American writers. I'll just go through the list once more quickly. Number one, Lon Chaney Jr. Number two, Daniel Day-Lewis. Number three, Julie Harris. Number four, Tyrone Power. Number five, Robin Williams. Okay, I'll give each one guess.
Wow.
Could Robin Williams be, oh, gosh, Mrs. Doubtfire?
No.
Or the other one I was saying was in Dead Poets Society, but I don't remember.
Neither one.
What about, he was in Seize the Day, but I think that was a TV movie, Tommy Wilhelm.
Yeah, that's a good guess. That's a very good guess. But no, it's not Tommy Wilhelm.
Okay. And Power, Tyrone Power. Well, I want to say The Razor's Edge, but that's not American. So
no. These are all American writers.
Is Daniel Day-Lewis in Gangs of New York?
He was in Gangs of New York, but that's not
the one.
That's not the one.
Julie Harris.
Yeah.
Gosh.
I'm trying to think, because My Left Foot was British, so was
a movie with Julie Harris.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And
Lincoln.
No. Literary characters.
A literary characters.
Yeah, not real characters.
Because I'm trying to think everything I can think of with him. Yeah. British.
Well, he was in a room with a view, right? That
but that's
character?
British.
Yeah, but that's British.
Oh, yes, of course.
So see, just let me go over this once more. Yeah. These, so again, there's a, according to Book Magazine, they put together a poll and listed the 100 greatest literary characters since 1900. So what I did is give you the five actors who played these characters in the movie versions of these books. Once more, it's Lon Chaney Jr., Daniel Day-Lewis, Julie Harris, Tyrone Power, and Robin Williams. So they're all American writers. Mm-hmm. So, and the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Yes, Jerry.
Julie Harris would be Frankie and Member of the Wedding.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Member of the Wedding, Frankie Adams.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Good job. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Drew in Chinatown.
Hi, Drew.
Would the role for Robin Williams be Popeye?
It would not be Popeye.
Very good.
Though that's certainly an important American character. Yes. You're right about that.
And beloved.
Okay. To get salt out of a recipe, you use potato?
Absolutely.
Oh,
good job.
Good.
How do you use it exactly?
You cut it in slices and you put it in and wait till it softens and it absorbs the salt.
And then do you take the potato out?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah, you can filter it out.
Yeah.
You could just lay a potato on top of the salt. Would it help with it?
Okay, no, anyway. You can put it into a soup, for instance, if the soup is oversalted, and then filter it out.
Assuming you have a potato on hand, but that's
good job.
Most people do.
It doesn't take the taste out of the soup, too, does it?
But it takes the salt out. It takes the over-saltiness out of it.
Yeah, it absorbs all the salt.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay, moving on. The oldest stained glass window in the world?
Yes.
That's in Sunderland, England?
That's not what I have.
Okay, well, that one's about 680 A.D. Anyway, the largest stained glass window, I think, is Covington in Kentucky.
That's not what I have either, because this is specifically window. Okay. There are largest stained glass
ceilings
pieces,
and stuff, yeah.
Pieces, but this is specifically window.
Okay, like La Chapelle in Paris?
Well, like that, but not that.
Okay, the one with the moon rock.
Yes.
That's at the National Cathedral in Washington.
Yes, and it's quite lovely. I've seen it many a time.
Good job.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, that's it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We are past halfway through the show, so let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Jerry?
Okay, what brands were sold with these now four slogans from Advertising Age magazine's top 100 slogans? They go back a little ways, if maybe 50 years. First is the penalty of leadership. They're all products that are still around. Second, it's so simple. I thought that would be simple. And the third one is a buck well spent, which gives you some idea of how old it is. And the last one is the instrument of the immortals.
Hmm.
Also, what Broadway musicals feature songs about these cities, and the names of the cities are also the title of the songs? Manchester, England, Santa Fe, Hooverville, Salzburg, Rumson, and Chicago.
Santa Fe. No.
A couple of these I was sure you were going to knock off.
Santa Fe. Is that from a well-known show, Santa Fe?
Santa Fe, very well-known show.
It's like Oklahoma or something.
No, it's much more, it's a contemporary show.
Oh, is it?
Huh. Yeah.
Oh, I just, I don't know. Yes, Pauline.
Okay, so I still have three parts of the stained glass. So what is the oldest stained glass still in its place of origin? Okay.
You mean in situ?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. In situ.
Where is the largest stained glass window in the world?
We're going to have to start using that every week now.
Exactly. What is unusual about the stained glass windows of the Grossmünder Cathedral? And then my other one, I still have two more. What Animal Farm character was also known as Willingdon Beauty? And born Annie Chancel, this French singer took her stage name from a cover version she sang of an American hit by Tommy Rowe.
Is the largest stained glass window by any chance in Notre Dame?
No.
Notre Dame?
I was actually quite surprised by this.
Yeah, okay.
The French singer, that's not the one that's married to Sarkozy, is it?
No, oh, please.
Oh, right.
Carla Bruni.
Who are you talking about?
Carla Bruni, who's married to...
New album coming out.
Was married, I think. Yeah.
No, she's still married.
Are they still married? Oh.
Still very much so.
And according to Consumer Reports, what are the two household stains that are toughest to remove from laundry? One is a warm food substance, and the other is a natural substance.
Chocolate.
You're on the right track.
Yes. Hot chocolate.
Hot chocolate is correct. Hot
really?
Chocolate is the hot is the mm-hmm. warm substance. Yes,
and that's one of the
because artists? Of a combination of things
really
in
tough
it.
To,
yeah,
to
it's
get
very very tough.
Okay,
to get.
All right.
Okay,
very
so,
good.
Very good. The first four African Americans to appear on United States mm-hmm. postage stamps. So far, we have George Washington Carver and Frederick Douglass. Who are the other two? Let's see. The 100 greatest literary characters since 1900, according to Book Magazine, and these are all American authors we're talking about. I gave you five actors who played these characters in film versions of the books. Number one is Lon Chaney Jr. Number two, Daniel Day-Lewis. Number three, Julie Harris. I'll show Jerry got that. That was Frankie Adams from Member of the Wedding. Number four, Tyrone Power. And number five, Robin Williams.
Could Robin Williams be the character he played in Good Morning Vietnam?
No.
No.
That's
Damn.
A real person. And
I'm thinking characters.
Robin,
and, yes.
Yeah.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, Steve. I will take a shot at the stained glass.
Yes.
Oldest. I think it could be in St. Catherine Monastery in Egypt. In Egypt. Because it was built in the 6th century A.D.
Well, that may very well be. It's not the one that I have. And I don't know if, because I had seen other ones that were stated as old, but I think this one is still completely intact. Maybe that's the differentiation.
Well, the one in Egypt is still intact as well. I just have one question for you because of the time. Mm-hmm. Five elements make about 99% of a human body, yours and mine and everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
One of them actually make two-thirds of our body in weight. Two-thirds of your body is made of single element. Which
well,
one?
Water. So
water,
I'm going to say oxygen.
Water is not the element.
Oxygen, though. No.
Oxygen is right. Okay. Can you name the other four?
Carbon.
Carbon. How much? I gave you the answer. Carbon make 18%. What other? So now I have two. Oxygen, carbon.
Okay. Hydrogen, because water is
yes,
hydrogen and oxygen.
10% by weight. Okay. So we only have two left. Can you tell me? Only two.
Something like magnesium?
No. All of the rest make less than 1%.
Potassium?
No. What make proteins? There's the basic element in protein. You can change alcohols to protein using... I'll give you the answer because we're short of time.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Nitrogen makes 3%, and calcium makes 1.5%.
Oh, calcium, of course.
Calcium,
yeah,
okay.
1.5 only. You know, the funny thing is that all of the other elements make less than 1%.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks, Abe. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Gordon from Sunnyvale.
Hi, Gordon.
Hi, and I'd like to answer the Manchester, England.
Yeah.
The play Manchester, England, England across the Atlantic Sea. That's from Hair.
Very good.
Oh, good job.
Very
Debbie,
good.
Debbie had that, so proud.
You know any others?
No, that's it.
Okay.
That's good.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. If you'd like to join us with a question or answer, the number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's Minds Over Matter at 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Andrew in Oakland.
Hi, Andrew.
I was just scooped with Manchester.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's your bell.
Okay, so we'll try this one. Daniel Day-Lewis. I don't know the character's name, but is Age of Innocence?
Yes. It's Newland Archer in Age of Innocence, Edith Wharton. But.
And I didn't catch all the guesses on the African-American postage stamps. Did somebody guess Booker T. Washington?
Nobody's guessed Booker T. Washington, and you would be correct if you did. There you go.
All right. And I have a question then.
Yes.
What famous Oaklander produced the TV show Maverick?
Ralph Edwards.
No.
Oaklander.
He went to my high school.
Oh, did I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. As did Jack London. Oh. Oakland High, yeah.
When I say Oaklander, I mean he's his name is associated with Oakland.
And he produced...
He's not just from here. His name is...
He produced what? I forgot already.
Maverick. Okay.
Not Clint Eastwood. That's too early for him.
No, he's not just... He's not from Oakland. His name is really associated...
Associated with Oakland.
Oh, associated with Oakland, but he's not necessarily from Oakland?
Well, he is, I think. But it's not just that he's from here.
But he's associated with Oakland.
Maverick. Well...
Maverick.
And he's not known primarily for TV production. He's known for... he had his hand in everything, but...
Is he known for movie productions? I want to say something like Hal Wallace, but
he's not from Oakland, I don't
think. I'm not sure.
No, he's known for something quite different, but he had his hand in everything.
Did he produce a lot of other TV shows?
I don't think so. This is the only one that I know.
Art Linkletter or something like that.
We
don't know.
Just one more clue. His name is plastered all over the city.
Is it? All over Oakland?
Yeah.
Really?
Really?
Wait a minute.
You can't turn around without seeing his name somewhere.
Not Jack London.
No.
Not Noland.
No, he didn't.
You're close with Noland, but somebody much more famous and much more present.
I don't know.
It's my hometown. I can't even come close.
We don't know. I'm sorry.
Okay. Henry J. Kaiser.
Oh, my God.
Well, you're right. His name is plastered all over Oakland.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry we didn't get it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Terry in San Francisco.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, I think Santa Fe is from Rent.
It is from Rent.
Oh.
We're going to open up a restaurant in Santa Fe.
Yeah, right. Very good. Any others?
No, that's the only one I have.
That's a good one.
Thanks, though.
All right. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. If you enjoy our quiz show, please give us a call at area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's his Minds Over Matter at 415-841-4134. I think it's your turn, Jerry.
Okay, what is the only consonant sound that can end a word in Japanese? Just, I'll give you one guess.
I'm sorry, say that again?
What is the only consonant sound that can end a word in Japanese?
J.
No, that's your guess.
Okay. Debbie has a guess for the Robin Williams quarter.
No. Is it SH or something like that?
It's not a combination.
Okay.
Maybe I spelled it wrong because I couldn't read it from here.
Oh. I don't know.
Okay.
I know. I repeat the question.
Oh, what is the only consonant sound that can end a word in Japanese?
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Ron from San Francisco again.
Hi, Ron.
The literary characters and actors, did you get Lon Chaney?
We did not get Lon Chaney.
Is that Lenny in Of Mice and Men?
It is, Lenny Small of Mice and Men. Very good.
And then is Tyrone Power Zorro?
No, not Zorro. That's okay. That's really a good guess, but no.
How about Robin Williams Garp?
Yes, T.S. Garp. Oh. Very good.
All right. Thank you very much.
Good job. So, Lon Chaney Jr. and Lenny Small of Mice and Men, and Robin Williams is T.S. Garp.
So he's just looking for powers?
Yeah, only Tyrone Power.
Wow.
So...
Okay. Is this a famous movie?
The movie is pretty well known, but the book is extremely well known. Mm-hmm. The movie's from the 50s. Okay, if that's any help to you at all. And the book is from the 20s, I believe.
Oh, okay.
So. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, hi. This is Priscilla in Menlo Park.
Hi, Priscilla.
I think you got Manchester and Santa Fe, but Hooverville is, I believe, Annie.
Annie, correct.
Oh,
excellent.
All right.
Excellent.
That makes sense.
Yeah, very good.
And, there was another one, too. I didn't know Chicago, but I think there was another what is left?
Okay, Salzburg, Rumson, and Chicago. Oh,
yeah, so Salzburg would be the Sound of Music.
No, it is not.
Is that right?
That's what I thought, but it
wasn't. No, it sounds like it. It sounds like it, but no, it is not. It's from a show that I can't remember how it fits into the plot at all.
Oh, okay. Well,
I'm going to check it when I get home because it sounds...
Sweeney Todd.
Okay. Thank you so much.
No, thank you very much.
There's no song named Salzburg in Sound of Music.
Okay. Well, I mean, how many shows? Yeah, and you don't think
this is really far out?
Is it really? Oh, okay.
I mean, it doesn't fit in with the plot at all.
Oh, right. Okay.
I don't know. It has to be a novelty song of some kind.
All right.
And I'm sure it was cut for the movie.
Do you have something very quick you can throw in, Pauline?
Yes. So just to follow up on the Animal Farm, the original title had a subtitle that was part of it. What was the subtitle?
You mean it had a different original title?
It had a subtitle that was part of the original title, but it was dropped by U.S. publishers.
You mean it was used by the British publishers, but not the U.S.?
It says, subsequently, all but one of the translations during Orwell's lifetime omitted it.
So it's something overtly political then?
Because
it was meant to be an allegory on Russia.
Exactly. The fact that it's meant to be an allegory, I think, is a clue.
So Animal Farm, colon, something.
Exactly.
Okay.
A parable of...
Because other variations included a satire, et cetera, but...
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Hi, this is Linda in El Cerrito.
Hi, Linda.
Yeah, I'm glad the other caller didn't get Tyrone Power. That's The Sun Also Rises.
That's correct.
Oh,
the Sun Also Rises. Very good.
Course,
and I want to say Jake Barnes, but it's been such a long time. Is that right?
Yes, it is Jake Barnes.
Okay. All right. I can relax.
Excellent.
Now. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Bye. Poor Jake Barnes, who could never father a child. And let's see. What can I think? Do I have anything here I can throw in very quickly? Huh.
I've got a quick one.
All right, you probably get this right away. This is pretty easy. What Dr. Seuss book uses only 50 words?
The Cat in the Hat?
No.
One fish, two
green,
fish, red fish,
green
blue
eggs
fish.
And ham.
Green eggs and ham. Yes, that's correct. On a Bet with Bennett Cerf.
That's right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's great.
I actually knew that in the past and got it wrong.
I actually have a list of the words. Maybe I'll use that some night.
Oh, that would be cool.
And, all right. What was the first Oscar-winning song not sung originally in English?
Not sung.
Song originally.
Yeah. What was the first Oscar-winning song not sung originally in English?
You mean it was a well-known song?
It was in the movie. It was not sung in English originally.
Oh, well. There's a bunch of French songs like that.
It's not French.
I'm thinking German.
Autumn Leaves.
German?
No. Not French and not German.
From Madame Butterfly or something like.
Is it operatic?
No, it's not operatic.
No, but there's.
It's
like
an Oscar-winning song. Remember.
Oscar-winning song.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's from the '60s.
'60s
Oscar-winning
song. Okay. Song.
Uh-huh. If that's so good, you should carry it over.
Well, we'll see.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Oh, hi, this is Valerie in Richmond.
Hi.
I have an answer for the French singer.
Okay.
Yes.
Schiller.
Absolutely. Schiller, one of my favorites. Oh, no, she was, like, super, super big. You're giving me a frown, but she was, like, majorly big.
Yes, she was.
It's only our ignorance.
Listen to the caller. Yes, she was.
What's her name? Spell it and say it again.
S-H-E-I-L-A, Schiller. She was really well known for L'École Finie was, like, her probably breakout, like, major
hit. Not in America much, though, I don't think.
She was, actually. She used to sing in America fairly frequently. Yes, she did.
Irene, we congratulate you on getting the right answer. It's just that we didn't know where to begin with it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for validating that.
Thank you very much.
My knowledge of French pop singers is not what it should be.
Merci beaucoup.
Yes. And next call?
I know two. Johnny Halliday and...
and not Johnny Halliday.
Well, actually, his wife, Sylvie Vartan, sang in the States quite a bit, too.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, this is John in Berkeley.
Hi, John.
I'd like to guess about the oldest thing last.
Yes.
Is it in Chartres?
It's not in Chartres. It is in Europe, but it's not in Chartres.
I'll say that
again. Okay. Well, then I have a question for you.
What?
Yes.
What is the only uniform number retired by Major League Baseball for all time?
Well, no 42. One... 42
I was
will
just
be
about
retired
to say
after
that.
Mariano Rivera ends his career.
Very good.
All okay. right. Good job.
Do you know what year it was retired then?
No, that's a good question. I think about 5 years ago or 10 years ago, not too long ago.
Yeah, a little bit longer than
okay,
that.
Well, okay. What was it?
It would have been the 50th anniversary. So what year was that?
Oh,
that would be
97.
97.
Yeah, 97.
Very good.
All right.
Very
Thanks
good.
Very much.
Thanks.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hi, you're on.
Hi. Thanks. This is Julie from Oakland.
Hi, Julie.
And I just have one guess for the consonant ending in Japanese.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is it N?
N?
N.
Correct. It is N.
Good
All
job.
Right.
Very good.
I just remember the movie, The Desk of Den.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
Can you think of a word that in Japanese that ends in N? We might know.
Yeah.
What?
The Desk of Den.
Yeah, she just said it.
Okay.
Now say it.
Unless that might have been actually onomatopoeic. I don't remember. It was
but
a great movie.
Well,
though.
You got it. I didn't think anybody gets
okay.
that. Very good.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you so much. It's such a great show.
Oh, thanks. That was nice of you.
Wonderful. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. One more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Hi, this is Hayes from San Francisco.
Hello.
The George Orwell, Animal Farm, mm-hmm. I believe, was a fairy story.
Absolutely.
Ah, yeah. Very good.
Thank you.
Which it was interesting they cut that off because it actually was not a fairy story. So.
No.
Yes.
But thank you very much. Your show is fantastic.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate it. Okay, yeah, time to clean up here. What do we got?
Okay, well, the novels that begin with these chapter names, we got about all but two. One, or all but one, actually. January, an exceptionally bad month, is from Bridget Jones's Diary.
Oh, all right.
That's the one that's kind of easiest one. The Broadway musicals feature songs about the cities. We got Manchester, England from Hair, Santa Fe from Rent, Hooverville from Annie, and the other three are Salzburg is from Bells Are Ringing.
Oh.
I can't figure out how that works. Mm-hmm. Rumson, which is from one of your favorite musicals, Paint Your Wagon. I think it's sung by Lee Marvin.
Oh.
And Chicago is from Pal Joey.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay, now the brands, which nobody guessed. A couple people. The brands sold with these five slogans. The penalty of leadership was VW,
mm-hmm.
Volkswagen. It's so simple was Coca-Cola, which I thought somebody would get. A buck well spent, McDonald's. And this is the one I thought you would get. The instrument of the Immortals is Steinway and Sons.
Oh, okay.
Piano.
Oh, Pauline. Very quickly.
Okay, so the three stained glass, so the one that the oldest is the Prophet Windows in Augsburg Cathedral, which dates from about 1065. Largest stained glass window in the world is actually considered to be the one at Kennedy International Airport.
Wow.
And the unusual thing about the stained glass windows is Grossmünder Cathedral is that they incorporate slices of agate inside the glass.
And they're in situ, too.
Slices
no,
of what?
No, those were not, but I guess they are.
Slices
now.
Of what?
Agate, A-G-A-T-E, like the
All
stone,
right.
like geode.
The first four African Americans to appear on U.S. postage stamps. The only one nobody got was W.C. Handy, who composed St.
Yeah.
Louis Blues in 1969. According to Consumer Reports, what are the two household stains that are toughest to remove? One is hot chocolate. The other is baby poop.
Ew.
Baby poop.
Thank you very much.
Yes, well, you're welcome. Let's see. Is that everything? Let me just check here. I think it is. Okay. If we did not get your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7. Thanks for all your calls. And our panel tonight was Jerry Nachman, Pauline Teichman, and myself, Dana Rodriguez.
Thanks
to Debbie Kennedy and Steve Wilcott for having me on board the phones. And thanks to everybody for tuning in. And join us next Sunday. Bye-bye.
If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that.